Father, we do love you, Lord, and we thank you and we praise you for this time together and what you're doing. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak now through your word and get me out of the way. Let us hear from you. And Lord, speak to us through this ordinance, Lord, the Lord's Supper, as we take this, as you commanded us to, speak to us through this as well. We love you and we praise you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As was mentioned earlier in the service, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. Well, we're having a celebration today of the Lord's Supper, of what Christ has done for us when he went to that cross, when he shed his blood, because this was God's ultimate sacrifice and offering for us for our sins. And before this, it was always the people and the priests bringing their sacrifices and their offerings. And then at this time, God offered his ultimate sacrifice of Jesus for us once and for all time. But before we see God's ultimate offering and sacrifice that was made, let's first look at the offerings and sacrifices that used to have to be made. Look at Leviticus. Turn to Leviticus chapter 9. And if you want to grow in the Lord, if you're somebody here today and you want to know Jesus better, you want to look more like him every day, you want to become more like him every day, well, it's really not your plan. It's really not God. God's put that desire in you. If you're a believer and you want to grow, that's called sanctification. It's our theological word for that. There's salvation. When we repent, we put our faith in Jesus, he saves us. And then there's sanctification. It's God's process of making us more like Jesus, conforming us into the image of his son throughout our lives. And so as a believer, we have this desire to grow, this hunger to grow, to know God better. Well, God tells us it happens through his word. It happens through his word. You've got to, the church services and the preaching and the things and the Bible studies and the things that you attend that you hear, that's not enough. You've got to get alone with the Lord, you and him, and you've got to go through his whole word. You've got to listen to what he's telling you. And a great way to do that, my favorite plan for that, what I've been looking at for years is what we've put in the worship bulletin there, that his word for you. That's just a name we put on it, but that's the Bible reading plan. If you want to go through the whole of his word in a year, it gives you a good variety throughout. But anyway, if you want to grow, be in his word every day as much as possible. There's devotionals out there too, days of praise, our daily bread. That's all out there for you to grow in him and get to know him through his word. But so if you're doing the his word for you, you just read this, Leviticus 9, and this is where the messages come from, that his word for you. But look at Leviticus 9. If you're new at this, that's right at the beginning of your Bible. You'll see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That third book in the Bible. And let's look at this. Before we see God's ultimate offering and sacrifice, the offerings and sacrifices that used to have to be made, let's look at this. Look at Leviticus chapter 9. And let's look at verses 7 to 24. Now, God is establishing the priests and their ministry here. And this is the Old Testament. And this is how they used to have to worship the Lord. And this is what the Lord had given them. And so he's establishing the priests and their ministry. So they're beginning their ministry here. And look at what it says in verse 7. Here's how they used to have to do it. Moses said to Aaron, and Aaron was the priest at that time. Moses said to Aaron, come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and the people. Sacrifice the offering that is for the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded. And so God is commanding here through Moses. Moses is telling Aaron the priest, hey, you offer some sacrifices for your sins first. You offer your sin offering, and then you offer, come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering. Make atonement for yourself and the people. And then after yourself, sacrifice the offering that is for the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Well, what does that mean? Make atonement. What is atonement? That's a big word. What's that all about? Well, atonement is reconciliation. It's getting back together. When two parties or two people are separated and then they want to come back together, that's reconciliation. Where you bring two people back together or two parties back together, that's reconciliation. Atonement is reconciliation. It's getting those two back together. And it's a divine act. It's a divine act of God, of His grace, whereby He draws to Himself and makes at one with Him those who were once alienated from Him, those who were apart from Him. So atonement is where God draws by His grace people who were separated from Him, alienated from Him. And what has done that is our sin. Our sin. The Bible says there are none righteous. If you're doing the His word for you, you just read Psalm 53 this morning. You saw, that's one place where God says there are none righteous. Together they have become corrupt. No one is righteous. And so we are sinners before God. And it's our sin that has separated us from our God. God is perfect and holy. We can't be in His presence. And we all have sin. And we're born into sin. We're born with a sinful nature. That's why you don't have to teach a child to be bad, but you do have to teach a child to be good. It's our natural bent. After the fall, we now have a sinful nature, and we're sinners. And so our sin has separated us from our God. Well, atonement is reconciliation. It's where God, by His grace, is drawing us back. And it's His process to make us at one with Him. You see, atonement, A-T-O-N-E, at one. God wants us to be at one with Him. God and us, and He wants us at one. He wants us back together, reconciled. And so atonement is His process to make us at one, to make with Himself at one those people who were alienated from Him. And so throughout the Old Testament, it was the shed blood of the sacrificial offerings that affected atonement. And so God had this process, and that's what we're looking at right here. He's saying, for this atonement, make atonement for yourself first, Aaron, you priest. Make atonement for yourself. Bring the burnt offering and the sin offering. Make atonement for yourself. You get at one with God. And then make atonement for the people. And then all the people, then get them at one with God through this sacrificial blood, these offerings. And so that's what's going on here. So this is what used to have to take place. The offerings and the sacrifices that used to have to be made for this. Well, now let's look at the process for making them. That's what we see in verses 8 through 22. Here was the process for making them, these offerings and these sacrifices, to make us at one with God. Look at verses 8 through 22. Here's what he had to do. So Aaron came to the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. His sons brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger into the blood and put it on the horns of the altar. The rest of the blood he poured out at the base of the altar. On the altar he burned the fat, the kidneys, and the covering of the liver from the sin offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned up outside the camp. Then he slaughtered the burnt offering. His sons handed him the blood, and he sprinkled it against the altar on all sides. They handed him the burnt offering piece by piece, including the head, the burned, and he burned them on the altar. He washed the inner parts and the legs and burned them on top of the burnt offering on the altar. Aaron then brought the offering that was for the people. So we see he made the burnt offering, the sin offering. He did all that for himself. And now in verse 15, now he's bringing the offering for the people. Aaron then brought the offering that was for the people. He took the goat from the people's sin offering and slaughtered it and offered it for a sin offering as he did with the first one. He brought the burnt offering and offered it in the prescribed way. He also brought the grain offering, took a handful of it and burned it on the altar in addition to the morning's burnt offering. He slaughtered the ox and the ram as the fellowship offering for the people. His sons handed him the blood, and he sprinkled it against the altar on all sides. But the fat portions of the ox and the ram, the fat tail, the layer of fat, the kidneys, and the covering of the liver, these they laid on the breasts, and then Aaron burned the fat on the altar. Aaron waved the breasts and the right thigh before the Lord as a wave offering, as Moses commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. That's quite a process, isn't it? That was quite a process to make atonement for himself and the people, to get everybody at one with the Lord. Wow, that's a pretty important deal. That's a pretty intensive process there. And so we see the process for making atonement, making them at one with the Lord. And we see here the sin offering, the burnt offering, the fellowship offering. We see a wave offering. And you know, what these were, you know, God had the Old Testament sacrifices. There was the burnt offering, there's the grain offering, the fellowship offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering. We see many of these here that have just taken place. Now, what the burnt offering was, this was a voluntary act of worship. So you could choose this or not. This was a voluntary act of worship. It was atonement. Here, the purpose of the burnt offering was a voluntary act of worship. It was atonement for unintentional sin in general. It was an expression of devotion, commitment, and complete surrender to God. And so it was for unintentional sin in general. Do you know that's why? Do you know in this service, have you ever noticed, you probably have, that we have a time of confession in this service? Every time we have a morning, there's a time where we just ask the Lord to search us and show us anything that might be displeasing. The things we don't know about, that's all often mentioned. There's no telling how sinful we all are. We have unintentional sin. This was an offering mostly for unintentional sin in general, an expression of devotion. It was a voluntary act of worship. Oftentimes, you know, we sin unintentionally. And then there's the fellowship offering. And that was the purpose was a voluntary act of worship, and it was for thanksgiving and fellowship. And it included a communal meal. There was the sin offering, and this was mandatory. The purpose of this offering was, it was a mandatory atonement, making at one with God, a mandatory atonement for specific unintentional sin. So it was specific unintentional sin, and the confession of sin, forgiveness of sin, and cleansing from defilement. And so you see a lot of these offerings going on here. So before we see God's ultimate offering and sacrifice, we notice first the offerings and sacrifices that used to have to be made, the process for making them. We saw the sin offering, the burnt offering, the fellowship offering. We also saw a wave offering. And next we see the result of their worship. So they did all this to worship the Lord as he prescribed. And in 23 and 24, we see the result of their worship. Here's what happened. They worshiped the Lord the way he told them to. And then in verse 23 and 24, it says this: Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. That was the result of their worship. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the altering. The Bible tells us our God is a consuming fire. That's who he is. And all the people saw it. They shouted for joy. They fell face down. What were they doing? They were humbled by the presence of holy God. They worshiped the Lord. This is the response to worship and to God's presence. And so now that brings us finally to, let's look at God's ultimate offering and sacrifice and the result of our worship. Here we are today. Now God has sent his once and for all sacrifice of Jesus, and his blood was shed, and God offered the sacrifice. And instead of the priest doing it, Jesus was the priest. He was not only the offering, he was not only the sacrifice and the offering, the Lamb of God, but he offered himself. He was the priest who offered himself for our atonement so that we can be at one with God. And so God's ultimate and all these other offerings and all this sacrificial system, it was all foreshadowing what was to come. That Jesus would be coming, that God's ultimate sacrifice would be coming. And so God's ultimate offering and sacrifice is the result and the result of our worship. Let's look at that. In your own time, you can look up Romans 3:25. You can look up 1 John 2:2. But know this, Jesus covers the sin offering and the burnt offering. You know, we read about the burnt offering that the priest offered, the sin offering and these things to bring atonement for unintentional sin and for specific unintentional sin. And Jesus has done that. Jesus, when he shed his blood on the cross, now he covers our sin. His blood is the offering. He covers that sin offering. We don't have to do that sin offering anymore. We don't have to do that burnt offering anymore. He is it. The offering that he made. And then the fellowship offering. What about that? To have fellowship with the Lord. Well, now we can have fellowship with the Lord. We repent. We put our faith in Jesus. And we're made at one with him because of the blood that was shed and what he's done for us. And now we can have a fellowship offering ourselves. We can go to the Lord. It tells us in Hebrews 13:5, we give a sacrifice of praise. Now we can just praise the Lord. We can give him our praise. And in Hebrews 13:5, God tells us about now a fellowship offering. We can offer a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. So at any time, anywhere, you can just praise the Lord. You can begin praising him and you're offering him that sacrifice of praise. And so what happens now? Jesus covers the sin offering. He covers the burnt offering. And we can offer a sacrifice of praise. Chris and Jeanette have been leading us in music. And we've been worshiping the Lord. And we've been praising him. And we're offering him that sacrifice of praise. And he meets with us. And then what happens? What's the result? What's the result of our worship? The glory of the Lord appears to all the people. The glory of the Lord. When we worship him, he reveals himself. The glory of the Lord appears to us. God inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise him, he is there. He inhabits those praises. And so he comes. And then what happened there when they worshiped? Well, fire came out from the presence of the Lord. And you know, we have the Holy Spirit and his fire, and the fire of the Spirit comes out. As we worship the Lord, the fire of God's Spirit comes. It comes into our hearts. God speaks things to us. He lets us know things. He sends us out. And we see his workings through the power of his Spirit. And then what happens? When we see him working, when we see the things that the Lord is doing, when we see him use us in an amazing way, or when we see that answer to that prayer and we see the miraculous way that he did it, what happens? That we see it. We see his glory. We see his power. And then we shout for joy. We fall face down. We worship before him. Jesus gave his life. He's the ultimate sacrifice. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate his supper. And if you're a baptized believer here among us, we welcome you to do that with us. We want you to be a part of that. You're invited to partake in his supper. But each of us needs to be very careful. God's very serious about taking a supper, and we should never do it flippantly. You know, there was a time that the people were being flippant about the Lord's Supper, and They didn't take the body and the blood. They didn't take the bread and the cup in a manner that was worthy, and people were dying. And it's a very serious thing. And so we need to search our hearts. We need to go to the Lord. We need to confess any sin, anything the Lord brings to mind. We need to come clean before Him. Search ourselves. Let the Spirit search you so that we won't be guilty of taking the supper in an unworthy manner, sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And so if there's anything in your heart that you know is not right, there's something between you and the Lord, and you know you're not dealing with this thing, or you're not willing to deal with this thing, and the Lord is telling you about it. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something else. Just let the supper pass by. But the thing God wants you to do is go ahead and deal with it right now. Use this time right now before the supper gets to you and get that right. Go to the Lord. Seek that forgiveness. Forgive that person. Do whatever the Lord is calling you to do, and then take the supper. And so I want to invite our deacons to come at this time. And this is in Matthew 26. Jesus was having this last supper just with his disciples before he was going to go to the cross. And he was having that Passover meal with them. And it says in verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. He gave his body. Not a bone was broken, but he went to that cross He gave his life. They nailed him there. He gave his life. He lived the perfect life you and I could never live. And by our repentance and our faith in what all he did for us, he gives us that righteousness as a gift, his righteousness. But he gave his body. His body was broken on that cross for us. Father, we do thank you for what you've done, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life. Thank you for taking our punishment to that cross, Lord. Lord, I'm reminded, Lord, on occasion I'm reminded, Lord, when I sin and I mess up, I'm reminded of all that you went through, that was one of the sins, what I just did, that was one of the sins that you suffered for. Perhaps I just caused you a little bit more pain, but way back then, thank you for taking our punishment, giving your body. We love you and we praise you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And they took the bread. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." God's ultimate sacrifice was offered for you. God provided the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. And he shed that blood. They flogged him. They beat him. They tore his back up. And the blood flowed. And they nailed him to the cross. And they erected that cross. And his blood flowed for you. For me. For the forgiveness of your sins. Lord, we just thank you. Words can't describe our gratitude. You took our death. You took our punishment for sin. We thank you. Help us to remember now, Lord. Show us how to live for you and sacrifice and surrender all to you. Thank you for what you've done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And they took the cup.